Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning. I'm coming in from quarantine. Susan and I had an exposure to COVID. We are currently feeling well and awaiting some negative test results middle of next week, so we can be back with you. I also want to say that this may be a day of a miracle. It will be the first time ever in my career that I've preached the very same sermon at the 8 o'clock service and the 10:30 service. As we gather in around the gospel this morning, according to Matthew, we're hearing this story about the wise men. And we hear some, the wonderful piece of them coming, and we understand that this is a lead up to Epiphany, which is coming this week, where we recognize that when the wise men come, this is a recognition for some that this Christ child, this Messiah, is open to all people, not just the chosen people, and they have come to pay homage. But there's some underlying things happen that are a lead up to something else, and some of the underlying things show up almost immediately in verse 3. When King Herod heard about this child being born, and because the wise men had come through Jerusalem and asked where he was, he was frightened. Herod was frightened. The king of Judea was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes and people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And the prophet said, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel. Herod, in hearing this, the potential Messiah, King of the Jews, being born, was in fear of this child. And he was devising a plan. In verse 7, he begins his plan. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. Herod had no intention of paying homage to this Christ child, to this Messiah, as told in the prophets. His desire was to destroy the Christ child, to destroy this potential king of the Jews. He was going to take out his competition, and he would stop at nothing to do so. And as we are coming up towards Epiphany, and we're hearing this story, and the wise men arriving and opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, a familiar story. And then our passage comes to a close with verse 12 today that says, and having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. So although this is, again, a wonderful lead-up to the understanding of Epiphany, which will be celebrated all about and all across Christendom, it is also a lead-up to another occasion, which, strangely enough, the church celebrated back on December 28th. It is a lead-up to the day in which we, and the occurrence of the massacre of the infants, which we refer to as the Feast of the Holy Innocents. This is, although we are using it in this context to be a story to remind us that of this coming Epiphany, it's also a reminder of how someone with such desire to remain in control and to keep the Messiah from entering in will go to great lengths, even to great enough lengths to massacre children. So as they went another way, we can jump forward just for a moment to verse 16. And when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. That also fulfilled another prophecy, that this is really more a story of someone trying keep control, and to what great lengths they will keep control. as I see it this day, Herod, in such fear, became manipulative, using his worldly powers to bring to an end a godly thing, which clearly he was unable to manage. God was going to have his way, and God will continually have his way. As I read this, I was remembering a customer from our store many years ago. And as I told you before, for many years I've worn this cross around my neck, which I still do. And he would see me when he would come into the store, and he'd say things like, "Oh, I see you're still wearing that cross around your neck." I call it a double cross. And we would have brief conversations about it, and he would constantly remind me that he was an atheist and how he didn't believe in God. On the last day that I was working in our company, he came in that day, and he came to find me and found out that I was resigning my position and going to seminary. And he came to me and said, "Well, you take this really seriously, don't you?" I said, "I do, actually. I will give it my whole life." And he turned to me and said, "Well, I guess we'll find out in the end." And I thought, and then I said, perhaps I shouldn't have, "You won't. You'll just be dead." And he was mildly offended by my comment, which I thought interesting, as he was an atheist that didn't believe that any of these things belong. Herod himself didn't believe in anything but himself, but yet he lived in fear of this Christ child. And I think for some of us, it's good to hear that maybe within ourselves, we too might live in some fear from time to time. And then we can go back to verse 12 and we hear this differently as we recognize this is happening in light of the Feast of the Holy Innocents. The early church considered them to be the first martyrs. We hear in verse 12, "Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, the wise men, they left for their own country by another road. They purposely avoided Herod. They actually put their lives in jeopardy by not returning to him. They risked being hunted down by Herod and his men and held accountable for not doing what he had asked them to do, that they risked it in hopes of protecting this child that they had just seen. They risked it all. The Holy Innocents gave it all, although not knowing why, since they were victims of worldly desire and ambition. We remember them back on December 28th. We remember them regularly, as we have chosen to name our parish after them. It's good for us who live in a community named for the first martyrs to wonder and to think, these wise men risked their lives. We live under the title of Holy Innocents, a day which the church sets apart, a feast day in remembrance of the first martyrs. And it makes me think, there are really two questions we should be asking ourselves this day. How far will we go, or how far have we gone, to keep the Messiah from being in full control of our lives? And if we've come to a place of allowing the Messiah to have full control of our lives, I think we can also ask ourselves, how much will I risk to tell the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, God incarnate, living among us? How much will I risk?